Daniel chapter number 3. Go there with me if you would in the Word of God. Daniel chapter 3. I'll be the one. Amen. Verse number 13 says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his fury and rage, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do ye not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Well, you ask, and do you really want to know? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered. Everybody say, answer. Peter says we got to be ready to give an answer. The problem is too many Christian people don't have an answer. The world is asking because they don't know. We need to have an answer. And by the way, not just an answer. We need to have the answer. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let the church say, amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing and use the Bible to do it. Oh God, I will be the one. Help that to be our prayer and heart's cry today as your children. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. How to come out of the fire. How to come out of the fire. Pastor, they're not even in the fire yet. Yeah, but if you are not ready before you get in the fire, you're going to have a hard time coming out of it. Look at me, church. It's too late to start getting close to God when you're in the fire. Now, listen to me. I'm not saying don't, but I'm saying too many people want to try to learn how to walk with God when they get in the valley. I hear people say all the time, oh, when you get in the valley, it'll make you walk with God. No. You better walk with God on the mountaintop. You better store up everything you can in your reservoir. You better praise him every time you can. Listen to me. If you can't come to church and worship God, do you really think you're going to convince us you're going to go to work and worship him? If you can't praise God with the songs being sung and the preaching being preached and the fellowship being given, if you can't praise God while somebody's up here singing their guts out or singing it, listen to me. If you can't lift up your hand while somebody says, Jesus or God is a standing ovation, and every time I need you, I call you my, listen to me. If you can't claim him in church, you're not going to claim him in the world. You got to learn how to walk with God right now. Get ready for the valley on the mountaintop. Listen to me. It's good to be on the mountaintop. And by the way, those times don't always last, but they're good for something. They're teaching us the character of God. They're teaching us the goodness of God. They're teaching us the grace of God. They're teaching us the favor of God. They're teaching us the wonderful, matchless, continuous of God. They're teaching us that he's trustworthy, that he's steadfast, that his mercy endures. You got to take time to praise him. When God blesses you, stop and praise him. The songwriter said, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Why do I need to count him while he's blessing me? Because when the devil comes along and the trial comes along and the difficulty comes along, all of a sudden you're tempted to rebel and you're tempted to complain and you're tempted to question God. You can go back to that mountain and say, I can't find him now. I don't know where he is. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know something about the character of my God. Somebody praise him today that he's a good God. And so they learn this. So Daniel chapter 1 was important in establishing their character. Chapter 2 was important. that Daniel could show the king that through God, I can interpret your dream. So in Daniel chapter 3, when the agenda is revealed, and this wicked pagan king is now forcing the worldly way on the people of God. And this is what happens. This is what the king is doing. He's taking his agenda. It's pagan. It's idolatrous. It's wicked. It's vile. And he's bringing it to the doorsteps of believers and saying, will you bow like we bow? Will you bend like we bend? Will you worship like we worship? Ladies and gentlemen, Crossroads Baptist Church is not the only place having worship in 2022. Some worship going on have nothing to do with God. Some worship goes on has nothing to do with this Bible. Some places that have steeples aren't churches of the living God. We've got to understand in these last days, it won't just be about whether we will worship. It'll be about whom we will worship. So the established character. And then we saw the extreme courage when the total participation was in front of them and they showed their true position. Last week, their expressed confidence in the face of intimidating confrontations and indicated consequences. They showed their intense commitment. Today, I want to look at what I call emphatic conviction. Conviction. Be careful in the Christian life that you don't intersperse words and misuse them. Sometimes words that we use in the church, we use among believers, we use so regularly, we've been using them for such a long time, we've gotten used to using them the wrong way. There's a difference between a standard and a conviction. Somebody help me preach. There's a difference between a standard and a conviction. Some of you say, Pastor, I will as soon as you tell me the difference. Then I'll say, amen. I was listening to Deontay a few moments ago. I said, who would like to be a secret sister? And he said, you want to learn one thing about the ladies around here. They ain't going to sign up till they know what it is. And so he said, who would like to be a secret sister? I ain't going to be no secret sister until I know what a secret sister is. I'm having enough time being a revealed sister, all right? And so there is a difference between a conviction and a standard. Now, listen to me now. A conviction is something that we're convinced about. Listen, the root word of conviction is the word convinced. I'm sure about it. A conviction is based on a biblical precept. I'm convinced about it because it's right. I'm convinced about it because it's what God says. Now, listen to me. Convictions are not for sale. Listen to me. Who I worship is not for sale. Whether I read my Bible is not for sale. Whether I'm going to denounce Christianity is not for sale. Doing right is not for sale. Listen to me. In these last days, we need convictions. Now, listen to me. Standards are different than convictions. Convictions are what we know is to be right from God's word. Standards are what we place in our lives to help us keep our convictions. Listen, what you wear and your color of your hair and what you do on what you do with your spare time, that can be a standard. Listen, we all have to have convictions without choice. We need standards to help us keep our convictions because we're flesh. And even though convictions are right and we know we should do them, unless we set standards, we'll end up violating our convictions. So sometimes in my life, I have to set standards, not necessarily because they're right or wrong, but because I need them to make sure that I have not violated my conviction. Let me give you an example. As a man, it is absolutely wrong, without question, for me to lust after another woman that's not my wife. I think I got some witnesses in the house. Let me say it again. I know you got your mask on, but I think you can project a little bit better. It is absolutely wrong. I said it's absolutely wrong without hesitation for a man who is married to be lusting after another woman that's not his wife. So matter of fact, Matthew said, if I commit adultery in my heart, I've committed it already. So some people say it's OK to look as long as you don't touch. That's not in the Bible. So you look and you lust, you're wrong. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We say, well, David was sinful because he committed adultery. Listen to him. If he hadn't looked long, he wouldn't have committed adultery. He looked and he got hooked. And when he got hooked, he got booked. All right. And became a crook. OK, so listen to me. You got to be careful what you look at. So if I know that I'm wrong if I lust, then I need to set some standards about what I put in front of my face. What shows I watch and what things I click on. I may need to put some blocks on some things that this smartphone won't allow my dumb self to get to. Somebody help me preach. As a pastor, I'm married to one woman. Somebody say amen. You don't know who she is? She's sitting right over there on the end. The extreme right, right over there. That's my wife, Bethany Maria Baldwin. I'm married to her, fully committed, more in love than I've ever been before. Amen. She was beautiful then. She's more beautiful now. I thank God for her. I don't want to marry another woman. I don't want to mess with another woman. I don't want to lust after another woman. I don't want to be tempted by another woman. I don't want to be around another woman like I want to be around that. But listen to me. She's my wife, but I'm a man. And I need to set some standards on it. Haven't you read your Bible? Hezekiah chapter 3. All men are dogs. Hezekiah chapter 3. Look at Johnny flipping through his Bible trying to find it. There's no book of Hezekiah, but how many of you know all men are dogs, all right? How about Philippians 3, beware of dogs? That's in the Bible. You say, well, all men are not dogs. Some men, no. I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. As it is written, there is none righteous. All men and women are dogs. Truth of the matter. Listen to me. We're all rotten. Amen? And so we have to set some standards around us about what I do. So as a pastor, I set some standards. I don't go counseling women by myself. Right? So but why? Because I don't want any temptation. I don't want anything good to be evil spoken of. I don't want to make provision for the flesh. And I don't want her to leave the building and lie on me. Come on now. You think that can't happen in 2022? Where are some lying, scandalous women out there? You say, that's a little rough. Have you ever read Proverbs? Huh? Oh, some men, I just look at her eyes and I just can't look at her eyes and she just makes me do things I wouldn't want to do. Proverbs said, don't look at her eyes. Look at her feet. They lead straight to hell. Don't look at people's eyes. Watch where they're going. Amen. So you got to set some standards in your life. Set some standards about your computer. Set some standards about what you're going to do. Set some standards about where you're going to go. So convictions are what God has said. Standards are what we set in order to not violate those convictions. Run the race that is set before me. Hebrews chapter 12. How do I do that? Lay aside sin. Conviction. Lay aside the weight. Standard. Right? Watch now. I can't run as fast as I need to if I have weights. Look here, listen here. You will never be a good Christian if you only restrict yourself to not doing wrong things. If you're not a Christian that is not willing to sacrifice getting rid of things that aren't even wrong because they're not best, you'll never be a good Christian. By the way, you'll never be a good ball player. You think ball players don't sacrifice eating some play? I was looking at the game last night. It's a good game to look at. Amen. And so I was listening to the players talk about how they've got to make some decisions with all this virus going around about where they're going to go and where they're going to hang out, because they don't want to go on that COVID list next week when they have to have a playoff game and cost their team. So you know what that means? You might not be able to go see Nene and them and Sugar Plum and all of them. You know, you got to sit down in the house somewhere and make sure you can't catch them. Listen to me. You want to be a good Christian. Every once in a while, you can't go around the corner and hang with every this, that, and the other. Sometimes you got to sit down somewhere and determine. It's not just about what's wrong. It's about what's not best. I don't want to disqualify myself. There are a lot more viruses in the world going around than just COVID and Omicron and Omarion, if y'all would call it that, or whatever you want to call it, and Delta and the flu and everything. And let me tell you something. There's other viruses like pornography and profanity and corruption and a runaway mind and loose lips and a dirty mouth. Somebody help me preach. You don't need to catch them viruses either. So don't just put your mask on, your N95. You better put your armor on, your Ephesians 6. Amen. Mm-hmm. She's up here singing this. You got me fired up. I'll be the one. Somebody's got to get up in the pulpit and preach the truth. Conviction. Look at this conviction. Then I'll let you get home. Notice this unthinkable fury.
Nebuchadnezzar was in rage and fury.
Hey, watch this now. You're going to have conviction in the face of fury.
You're one of them sensitive Christians that has a hard time making people mad. Don't plan on being a good Christian.
Your Christianity will put people in rage and fury. And how intimidating it must have felt for these three boys in a foreign country to not only make people mad, not only make somebody mad, but make the most powerful man mad.
Are you willing to do right if it upsets your boss? Are you willing to do right if it upsets your best friend? Are you willing to do right if it upsets those that follow you on social media? Are you willing to do right if it upsets a family member? Don't get quiet on me. I'm still preaching. Unthinkable fury. Look at verse number 13. They brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do ye not serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Look at verse 15. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of all of those instruments, he said, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Write this down in unabashed force. He has no shame about trying to force them to do something that they've already said is wrong. And then he mocks God in the process. Listen to the question. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of your hands? Listen to me, church. The world is asking the question, who's your God? Who's your God that's going to keep you out of this problem? Who's your God that's going to save you from this pain? Who's your God that's going to spare you from getting destroyed? Who's your God that's going to watch over you if you maintain your purity? Who's your God that's going to make sure you get the right one if you wait on God's choice for your life? Who's your God that's going to take care of you if you tithe 52 weeks out of the year? Who's your God that's going to watch out for you if you live New Testament Christianity in a wicked culture? Who's your God that's going to have your back when nobody else has your back? Listen to me. They're asking the question. And ladies and gentlemen, you can only answer the question if you're willing to make sure what you say with your lips matches what you do with your life. Look at verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer. The unthinkable fury, the unabashed force. The unknown, beyond that, let's look at this. The unashamed faith. They answered. Verse 16. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Very important to look at Bible words. Careful. Let's look at another place in the scripture where that's mentioned. Philippians chapter 4. Don't turn there. Be careful for nothing. That word careful, Philippians chapter 4, when the Bible says be careful for nothing, is the same word where we get the word anxious from. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but just raise it in your head, raise it in your heart, if you're ever anxious. You know what that means? Every time we're anxious, we've disobeyed God. Now, I'm not belittling you. We've all been anxious before. You struggle with anxiety and you worry and you go through panic. Philippians chapter 4 says, be careful for nothing. Thank goodness that the verse doesn't stop there. Because after God said, don't you worry about anything, guess what he said? You better pray about everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Next verse, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You think these fellows had prayed? They prayed in Daniel chapter 2 when Daniel needed to interpret that dream. When he got them together and said, pray, let's go to God on my behalf. Listen to me. Now they say, we're not careful. In other words, King, you have just tried to force us to do wrong. You've just threatened us with a fiery furnace. But here's our answer. We're not anxious to answer you. Here's the problem with Christianity. We've allowed the world and its agenda to cause us to be ashamed of Christianity. So now we're embarrassed. By the way, they're not embarrassed. They're not embarrassed about their sin. They're not embarrassed about their immorality. They're not embarrassed about their vulgarity. Why in the world should the world be absolutely unashamed about their wickedness and we be embarrassed about our righteousness? You shouldn't be embarrassed to carry your Bible. You shouldn't be embarrassed to give someone a gospel tract. You shouldn't be embarrassed to tell someone you're a Christian. You shouldn't be embarrassed to tell someone, I don't do these things. And by the way, stop making up lies for why you don't do something. I'm busy. I'm tied up. I can't go over there. I'm allergic to it. No. I don't go there because it's wrong. Not because I'm allergic to it. I'm working tonight knowing you sit right at home. Don't tell them you're working. Tell them I'm not going because I don't belong there. You got to be able to have some unashamed faith. We're not careful to answer the end of the matter. Now look at what I call unknown future. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Still in this faith. He is able. Everybody say he is able. He is able. Let's put God in there. God is able. One more time now. God is able. What is he able to do? Verse 17. To deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will. Watch this now. Faith is not only saying I understand God's ability, but faith is also saying I have assurance about God's ability. Notice what he said. He is able and he will. Let's say it together. He is able and he will. And again, he is able and he will. Say God this time. God is able and he will. Say it again. God is able and he will. What is verse number 17? He will deliver us out of thine hand. Now you can put dot, dot, dot after he will. God is able and he will heal me of this disease. God is able and he will provide for my every need. God is able and he will exonerate me. God is able and he will vindicate his servant. God is able and he will give me the right spouse I'm supposed to marry. God is able and he will bring us out of this pandemic. God is able and he will let us find what we're looking for. God is able and he will put a hedge over my children. God is able and he will sustain me in the darkest hour. God is able and he will move that mountain out of my way. God is able and he will carry me through the valley of the shadow of death. God is able and he will give me bread when I'm hungry. And he will give me water when I'm thirsty. And he will give me comfort when I'm lonely. And he will give me peace in the storm. And he will be my bridge over troubled waters. God is able and he will blank fill in the blank. He is able and he will. You got to have that faith. But I want you to notice this and then we'll close. Not only the unabashed force, this unthinkable fury, this unashamed faith, this unknown future right here. But if not. Come on, everybody say it. But if not. See, faith says he can and he will. Faith says he can and he will. But here's what I have written down. Focus. The unmovable focus. Faith says he can and he will. But focus says, if he doesn't, I still won't bow. Faith says he can and he will. Faith says he's able and he will. But if he doesn't, I'm still not going to bow. Now, Pastor, how can I balance those two? Because if he can and he will, I can't even contemplate if he won't. Well, you got to contemplate if he won't because he's God and he doesn't have to. See, faith in the character of God says he can and he will. See, you got to believe God's going to heal you even if he doesn't heal you. Well, Pastor, why should I believe he's going to heal me if he doesn't heal you? Because believing he can heal you, even if he doesn't heal you, will give you what you need in the meantime until he ultimately does heal you by taking you to heaven. And if he doesn't heal you, you still need faith to sustain you in the trial. Is anybody listening? Well, ain't no use in me believing it ain't going to happen. So listen, not only will it not happen, you're going to be a bad Christian while it doesn't happen. You've got to believe that God can and He will. Well, listen, I know what somebody's thinking right now, but I said that. I prayed, God. I prayed that God would heal my family member. I prayed that God would heal my loved one. We prayed that God would heal certain church members, and God didn't heal them. No. But we still had to believe that God could and that God was going to do it. You know why? It gave us the faith to keep on praying and keep on persevering. It gave us the faith to trust Him. Listen to Job. I know that my Redeemer lives. Listen to Paul. I know in whom I have believed. Let me tell you something. You don't think Paul knew that God could remove the thorn in the flesh? You don't think Paul knew that God was going to remove the thorn in the flesh? And yet God said, I won't. But listen to what God said. My grace is sufficient for you. And let me say this to you, Christian. You got to have enough faith to look people in the eye and say, God's going to take me through this fire. God's going to deliver me out of your hand. You got to have faith when you go in that doctor's office and say, tell me the bad news, doctor. I don't want to hear it. I'm not asking for it. But my God is a healer. My God is a great physician. Fire me on that job. My God owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. Betray me if you want to. I've got a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. Turn your back on me. My father and mother forsake me. The Lord will lift me up. Say that things won't happen. Listen to me. Is there anything too hard for God? I've got to believe that God can and He will. But I've also got to believe that if He doesn't, I'm still not going to. Listen to me. The devil needs to know that if things don't go your way, that if not everything on your prayer list gets answered, if it doesn't work out the way you plan, you're still going to be a good Christian. You're still going to be faithful. If you don't get the raise, you're going to keep tithing. If you don't get the job you want, you're going to keep being faithful. If things don't happen, you go in the doctor's office and he reads something on the report that you didn't plan on, you're going to leave the doctor's office and do the same thing you did the day before. Get up in the morning, pray to Almighty God, read your Bible, worship in the midst of madness. Why? Because even if He doesn't do what you want, He's still God. You got to have that. I love this verse. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set. What's the big deal, Pastor? I mean, what's the point of believing God is going to take care of them if it's a chance He doesn't? Here's why. You gotta have that faith when you go in the fire. See, there's a reason why this story ended up the way it ended up. Because you had three boys who were unmovable. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Have you bowed because of the force? Have you allowed the devil and his bullies to cause you to compromise your convictions because you were too afraid of the consequences? Whatever happened to New Testament Christianity? Whatever happened to Old Testament Christianity? Whatever happened to Bible Christianity? I'll tell you, threatening consequences. And now there's a generation of Christians that actually believes we can't live the Bible way and survive. Can I ask you a question? Who do you think you are? Every generation of Christians have lived the Bible and succeeded. Somebody's got to be the one. And in these last days, God is looking for somebody who say, I believe that God is able and that He'll deliver. But if He doesn't, I'm still not going to bow. Now go to work tomorrow. Go to school tomorrow. Even if you're working at home, even if you're doing virtual school, go to the neighborhood, get around your friends, do whatever you have to do tomorrow, and determine, no matter what, I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to be. Hey, listen to me. I believe this book. Come on now. I believe this book. Let's determine as Christian people. Let's stand for God. no matter what. Father, we love you and we bless you. May the Bible motivate us to stand for you. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed.